Just want to take time again to thank all the young people who were involved in this Noah's Ark project. I know they were nervous, but praise God that they took time to get interested and involved in learning. They do enough learning or a lot of learning at school, but they really dug in deep to find out some things that a lot of us didn't even know about Noah's Ark. Amen. And we just praise God for all our young people. Today's focus passage is going to be Ephesians 3:14-21, but we're going to work backwards. So right now I want you to look at Matthew chapter 2, starting at verse number 1. Again, the focus is going to be Ephesians 3:14-21, and we'll bring that into play later on. But as we continue this series, His Name Means, today we consider this topic, His Name Means Coronation. We're going to start in Matthew chapter 2. Starting at verse number 1, it reads, "After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, 'Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him.' When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people, chief priests, and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. 'In Bethlehem, in Judea,' they replied, 'for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people, Israel.'" How extravagant was the birth of your child? Surely you remember balloons and flowers and all types of gifts as you welcomed in the birth of your children, those of you who have children. But the birth of our children, those in this room, probably paled in comparison with regards to celebration as compared with a royal birth. Take, for instance, this recollection of a royal birth several years ago. There were hundreds of people that were gathered outside to get a glimpse of the royal newborn. There were thousands more that were at the palace to hear the announcement of this royal birth. I was aged 8, and we were all assembled in the school hall to be told the news and to celebrate the birth. Our headmaster stood proudly at his lectern and announced that a very special baby boy had been born. He explained that this baby boy was different to other baby boys because he had been born to rule over us. He was a prince, and one day when we were all grown up, he was going to be king. That was a recollection of a guy named Neil Welton in the United Kingdom on talking about June 21st, 1982, and the birth of Prince William, who is in line to be King of England. Kings, we're surrounded by kings, not in government, but in other things. I mean, you know, you've got the King of Rock, I suppose, Elvis, the King of Pop, who's no longer king, and he's auctioning off the glove, church. Have you seen that? We're surrounded by King of Beer, which is, what is it? How do you know that? Advertising, right. You watch the Super Bowl. Most of us are familiar with the birth of Jesus, who is indeed King. But when we recall the birth of Jesus, we don't remember balloons and flowers, and we don't remember fanfare, and we don't remember the world standing still, and we don't remember people standing outside of the palace. There was no palace. In fact, King Jesus was born in the most humblest of settings, in a cave. No crib, no gold framed crib, none of that, just a manger where he lay. King Jesus didn't have the celebratory actions that takes place when princes are born around the world, but he was a king. Amen? He was royal. His coronation took place at birth as the angels on high sang praises, singing glory to God for this newborn king. This newborn king immediately caused concern for King Herod, because he feared that his throne was about to be taken from him from this newborn king. But this newborn king could care less about this physical throne. He could care less about securing all the gold and riches in the world. He could care less about assembling military might in an effort to show his king power. No, this newborn king was concerned about ruling something deeper than what's on that surface. In fact, King Herod could have remained king. This newborn king was desiring to be king of King Herod's and all of us, all of our hearts. This newborn king represented a rule that was much more concerned with the rule of the inner being, the mind, the hearts, the soul. And this newborn king, namely Jesus Christ, who means so much to so many of us, also means in this context coronation. What does that mean? That means that Jesus, when we call on the name of Jesus, those of us who have professed and confessed Jesus to be Lord of our lives, when we have confessed that he is Savior and he is Lord, we are ceremonially and willfully anointing him and appointing Jesus Christ as King of our lives. We are recognizing Jesus as ruler of our lives, ruler of the church, ruler of this universe. And church, if he is king and we confess him to be this king, then we recognize him to be the King of all kings. That is to say that Jesus Christ, then everything else. That is to say Jesus takes first place. That is to say Jesus gets the blue ribbon. He comes before family. He comes before job. He comes before our ambition. He comes before our ideology. Jesus Christ is King of Kings. Paul, writing to the young evangelist Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting at verse number 11. But you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses, in the sight of God who gives life to everything, and of Christ Jesus, who while testifying before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in his own time. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see, to him be honor and might forever. Amen. His name, church, means coronation. And church, let's live our lives in such a way that we participate in a daily coronation. And like the Magi, who had an understanding of kingship, who had an understanding of the kingship of this newborn baby, and they came to Jesus bearing gifts. Gifts that represented a coronation. Three gifts, the text says. These Magi who have grown in legend, and we don't know exactly who they were, but we know that they came to Jesus and they brought gifts. The first gift that they presented to Jesus was the gift of gold. The gift of gold is a gift that you would give to someone who's king. It's a precious metal. It's expensive. It's pure. It's rich. It's precious. It means so much. So I wonder if today, like the Magi, we can give this gift to Jesus. Something that's precious, like family, Are we going to come like the Magi to give to this newborn king and say, God, Jesus, when it comes to family, you're king. When it comes to my marriage, you're king. Those things that you hold dear, when it comes to your job and your profession and your career, you're going to say, Jesus, you're king. Are we willing to bring this gift to this king today? Are we willing to participate in this daily coronation to say, Jesus, you're king of the things that's most precious to me? The second gift, the text says, was frankincense or incense, which is a gift that communicates priesthood, which is to say that this king is going to be an intercessor. Are you ready to give to King Jesus today those things that you need him to get into the middle of? That problem, that issue, that argument, that relationship. Are you ready to give that to King Jesus today? We're doing a video series on Sunday mornings in Bible class, and Rick Warren said in his video series today something that was very profound. He says that God is willing to take our problems and make them his own. We got stuff on our plates. We got stuff in our lives that God is saying, give that stuff to me. If we're going to participate in daily coronation, we got to take that stuff. Say, God, intercede. Jesus, intercede. Get into the middle of this. The last gift was the gift of myrrh. It was a gift that myrrh was a scent that was used for burial. And what a strange gift to give to a baby, but it immediately connects with us. Because the reality that we have come to know, the reality that we come together and celebrate every week, is that we know that this baby came here to die. He came to die. Here is perhaps where the kingship of Jesus differs from every king that we have ever encountered. Michael Jackson wasn't born to be king of pop to die. Elvis wasn't born to be king of rock to die. Queen Elizabeth wasn't born to be queen of England, to die for England. But Jesus, King Jesus, was born to die so that we might have life. It's the most important gift that we can give to Jesus. And maybe it's the gift that we need to start with, is our life. I mean our whole being. I mean heart, mind, body, and soul. We need to give it to Jesus, so that we might have life. In many ways, this is the plight that we will find ourselves in for the remainder of our lives. A daily giving of our lives to Jesus, so that we might experience life. Wouldn't it be wonderful? Wouldn't it be wonderful if during this Christmas season we made a commitment from this day forward to daily give our lives to Jesus? See, if we do that, if we give our lives to Jesus first, it might make it easier to give our issues to Jesus. Huh? Maybe easier for us to ask Jesus to intervene and to be intercessor in the things of. If we give our lives to Jesus first, it'd be easy to give our families, to give our marriages, to give our relationships, to give our careers, to give our ambitions, to give our ideologies, to give our opinions, all those things. If we give our life first, we can easily give these things to King Jesus. And to that end, I believe that this prayer that Paul offered in Ephesians chapter 3 is one that takes into account that we in the body of Christ stand prepared to participate in the coronation of Jesus Christ every single day. And so Paul prayed this: "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of the glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." That prayer, I believe, is born out of Paul's commitment to give King Jesus first place. That prayer is born out of a desire for the Ephesian church and all the saints, all the Christians, all the churches, to place Jesus Christ on the throne seat of the heart, on the throne seat of the church, on the throne seat of the universe. His name means coronation. And I encourage you today to give your life to King Jesus. And in doing so, make that confession that there is no other king. And in doing so, make that confession that he is the King of Kings. And in doing so, you say absolutely, 100%, he takes first place. Before I do, I think Jesus. Before I speak, I think Jesus. Before I go to argue, I think Jesus. Before I get ready to fight, I think Jesus. Before I go to do a good deed, I think Jesus. And in doing so together, church, we hold hands in unity, singing at the top of our lungs, praying from the depths of our heart, giving all from the pits of our spirit. We give it all to King Jesus. Together, together, we declare his praises. Together, we communicate to the world that he is the one. And if you want something different in your life, if you want a difference to be made in your life, you need to make Jesus Christ King. We don't have to apologize for it. We don't have to be arrogant about it, but we can be confident, and we can be consistent, and we can be persistent, and we can be passionate about it. Let's get passionate about King Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we offer our lives to you, living sacrifices. We offer our lives to you in a way of saying that King Jesus is our King. He is the King of Kings. He is the only King. Father, we offer those things that are most precious to us, our families, our careers, our jobs, our relationship. We offer things to you that we are in need of intercession, need of you getting involved, Jesus getting involved, our issues, our problems, our relationships. And God, we offer to you most of all our lives, in that we know that Jesus Christ death. Jesus Christ's death means life for us. And we thank you so much that this baby was born to die so that we might live. May this motivate us. May this move us to worship you. May this move us to be in endless pursuit of you. May this move us to join together in a harmonious chorus like that of the angels who sang glory to God in the highest because of King Jesus. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would like to give your life to Jesus Christ, maybe you haven't done that before, you want to do that. Maybe you want to be like young Rebecca did last week who gave her life to Jesus and made a public display of that by professing Jesus to be her Savior, the Son of God, being baptized. You want to give your life to Jesus Christ today? You can do that. If you've been holding your life back, you want to give that life to Jesus Christ today, I want to beg you to do that today. Make him king of your life. Make him king of your situation. Make him king of your circumstance. Yesterday I sat there, right there, and prayed this prayer. I prayed that God would meet everyone in here where you're at. I pray that God would take wherever Bill is and meet him there. I pray that God would take wherever Brenda is and meet her there. I pray that prayer, and I'm passionate about it. I'm going to continue to pray that prayer, that God will meet you where you're at. He's faithful to do it. Just give him a chance. Say yes to him. Give your life to King Jesus. Give your life to God this day. Let's stand. Let's sing.